Yes, yes, yes. Open lines. I love open lines on a Friday night into Saturday morning. And I tell you what, we're going to open up a special hotline for you tonight. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Let me explain it. But it's going to be called the Loony Line. I know some of you are probably saying, yeah, right. It is the Loony Line. Here's that phone number. 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. Now, not just for people to call in with their loony, zany stories, but how many of you in your life have always been chastised by someone else who's always called you nuts or a lunatic? You don't know what you're saying. I want you to share whatever happened in your life. What was that story that made those people think that about you? Maybe you're just a little strange. Maybe you're different. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's the Loony Line tonight, in addition to open lines at 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome to Open Lines. Don't forget the Loony Line. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Where might you be? Hi there.
Hi, this is Shannon in Des Moines, Iowa.
Hey, Shannon, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I had a question about the time machine doctor that was on here a while back. If he had any updates on his invention, if he had come up with the money yet, actually, to test his invention.
Now, there are a couple that we've had on. One was Gibbs. Another one was Mad Markham, I believe, a long time ago with Art. Were those one of the two?
Well, this one was recent, a couple weeks ago. You had a doctor on there. He had a PhD or whatever, quantum physics.
It could have been Dr. Brian Weiss. Could have been a lot. I'll get the names. We go through so many guests sometimes. We've got a whole list of them, and sometimes Art and Ian are doing them too.
Well, George, it's a great show. I like listening to it at night when I'm traveling. So keep up the good work, will you? Do you have any update on that time machine invention, though?
Not from him. I don't think he's got anything going yet. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. The Loony Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Well, good evening. It's such a pleasure. And I've always been called a lunatic because I've talked about the conspiracies and the Illuminati. And, you know, I've been talking about it since 1980, and I've seen UFOs. I've seen a mutilated cow up close. I've warned my mom not to take any call and take and report the UFO she saw. She got a visit from the Men in Black and found out that firsthand that I wasn't necessarily quite so loony, but she still called me loony anyway. But you know, I've always been just chastised and put down because I've had a sense of what's going on.
See, and you've probably have more perception of what's really happening than anybody who's accused you of being a loony.
Well, the thing is I'd really like to talk to a lot of those people because, you know, my life has changed a lot since then. And even my mom has come around, you know, in recent years, you know, because a lot of it, like, you know, like it was said on the show many times that all these conspiracies have come to fruition. So, you know, they're not, you know, it's like, the, you know, a conspiracy is a theory only when it is just talked about. But one teeny tiny shred of evidence, and it's no longer a theory, it's a probability. And a little bit more evidence, and it becomes more than just a probability, it becomes a possibility. Right?
Absolutely. Now, besides your mother, have any of your friends started saying, you know what, I don't think you're as nutty as we thought you were?
Well, I don't have any of those friends anymore. That's what I mean. My life has changed so much. I used to live out in El Paso County, and before that, I lived up in Denver. And that's when I really got slammed because I lived in Denver during the 80s. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I knew as a musician and an artist. So I knew a lot of people. And, you know, I tried to tell everybody, you know, there's a secret underground government. There's, you know, this government's just on strings. They're all a bunch of puppets, you know, and they're all chattering the same thing. They're all trying to take and get us to fight amongst each other and hate each other. And, you know, you're a Republican, I'm a Democrat. You know, you're this, you're that, I'm this, and you're that. You know, they're always trying to get everybody to take and have a difference of opinion amongst themselves so they, you know, it's watch the left hand while the right hand takes and does whatever it wants.
In due time, history will prove you to be right, my friend. Thanks for calling. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Jeanette. I'm calling from Bakersfield.
Hello, Jeanette. How are you and what's on your mind?
Well, I was wanting to call the Looney line, but I didn't get it written down. But I got through to you last night. I've had a psychic
ability. How did you get? Well, wait a minute. You're only allowed on once a month. How'd you get through twice?
I don't know. I told him I was on last night.
And he put you through?
I guess because I'm loony.
Well, maybe that could be. Go ahead.
But my family says I'm psycho instead of psychic. For a long time, I kind of just pushed everything back that would come through in my mind because people laughed at me. And then I finally married a man that encouraged me instead of discouraged me. And it really helped. And I've been able to realize, that what I feel, everybody has a psychic ability. It's just something that's stronger.
Sure, absolutely. So what he did is while other people are putting you down and calling you these names, he kind of enhanced you. He built up your character.
Very much. To the point to where when I would, because I see things every day and I talk to people every day, and it comes through so strong at times that if I see a figure or something, he'll see a light, a shadow or something. And we have lights come on and off and dogs bark and things move around in our house. And it's been like that ever since we've been together. We lived up on the Kern River on an old mining claim. And for a long time, I would see like pagodas and things in the river. And I didn't know that the Chinese had been slaves on the river years and years ago until I went to the library and researched it. And then I started seeing this man. I could tell he was royalty, and he told me his name was Hito, and
Hito?
That he had been a Chinese leader in the 400s. And I went to the library, and I looked this up, and this was so. And he showed us many things on the river. He would take us on the other side, and there would be rocks placed out, just like you could tell they were humanly placed only hundreds of years ago. And he'd say, many men died, many horses. And he told us so many stories, and he saved our lives several times.
I don't think you're loony, Jeanette. I think you're pretty intelligent.
Well, I like to think so, but sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit loony.
All right, what's the craziest thing you've ever done?
The craziest thing I've ever done? We were on the other side of the river, and I have been pronounced dead twice, and I have... I've had 43 surgeries on my legs, so they're not real strong.
What is it, circulation?
I was going to walk down the river on the other side 4 miles to this other mining place, and I did. I made it just fine, and you wouldn't believe some of the things he saw. He showed us it was like rocks that were... It was a cave, only you could tell that at one time somebody had probably lived in there. And my husband was going in, and I told him, don't do it. There's bugs and spiders. And he went in, and it was just clean, like someone had just vacuumed.
Well, that doesn't sound like it's too crazy, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Good morning.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, this is Jimmy in Memphis, Tennessee.
Jimmy, what's on your mind, Jimmy?
I heard that caller before talking about the conspiracy theories. I want to know, have you ever read the book Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper?
Oh, yes, I sure have. The late William Cooper.
Yes. A friend of mine let me borrow his copy of it, and I have to say it is kind of scary so far what I read in there about the conspiracy theories, about the Illuminati. And
I got to tell you,
like
Bill Cooper, for many things, was right on the button. Unfortunately, in his case... He got involved in a situation. He got shot to death by deputies. I don't know what the heck really went down on that episode, but I knew people who knew him. They'd see him at conferences. You know, he was different. I mean, yeah, I've opened up the loony line. Some people would have called him that. He was very strange. He acted weird at some of these conferences, and yet his mind was as sharp as a tack. And, you know, he got to the point in his life where he believed every conspiracy, and consequently, it was probably part of his own undoing, and he was shot to death. Who knows what really happened, but we lost a guy with a pretty brilliant mind, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine is telling me all this stuff, and I think he takes it all seriously. Me, I try to have an open mind. I always look at it, you know, I believe what you say. There's no such thing as coincidences, and I try to have an open mind on everything, but if what everything William Cooper says is true, then we're messed up to begin with. I mean,
if half of the things he says are true, we're messed up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and but it's like I told him, I said, you know, you can't be too paranoid about everything, because then you start looking into a conspiracy theory and everywhere. You just see it.
You know what?
Conspiracy everywhere.
The simple thing is always ask yourself who benefits, no matter what. Weigh that first. Either challenge that or make sure that that's the issue, and you're going to get your answers to many, many things. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Well, say, George, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Good, good. This is Two Feathers in Austin, Texas, listening to you on 590 KLBJ AM.
Sure thing, and I will be there in January.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. When in January, or is the date set yet?
Yeah, I don't have the date with me, but it's going to be the it's going to be KLBJ's Love Fest.
Oh, right on, right on. Well, cool, awesome. Well, I heard you join the growing family of musicians, and I kind of wanted to welcome you aboard. I myself am a multi-instrumentalist. I play Native American flute, which I can give you a demonstration of, zither harp, and
sure.
Percussion as well. So,
and I have joined the ranks of the harmonica crowd.
Okay, actually, so I had a friend that I worked with who played a real good blues harmonica, as a matter
of fact. Do you have your harp next to you?
I have my flute in hand, as a matter of fact, I got two flutes here, and this one is an earth tuning flute, which is by the name of Golden Puma, and here's what she sounds like.
All right, give me about 20 or 30 seconds of that. All right.
Okay.
That's very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Now, how close is the harp to you? Love the harp.
You love the harp? Well,
yes.
As a matter of fact, while I explain this to you, I'll break it out of the case. How about that?
Oh, and, okay. Play something when you do that, too. Something angelic.
Well, you know what? It's not a coincidence that you should mention that. As a matter of fact, I have what's called an angel tuning harp.
I mean, here we are now. We're moving toward Christmas.
Yeah,
and,
well, okay.
You know, we might as well start bringing out some of these stories. And
okay.
I think maybe I'll start doing some of that next week.
All right. Well, here you go. Here's a little sample for you.
That's incredible. I love that.
You like that?
That's very good. Good for you. How old were you when you started getting involved with the musical instruments?
Oh, my. Well, that's kind of asking, Evelyn Paglini when she first got into witchcraft. I think for me it was probably about 3 years old or something like that.
Who pushed you? Your mother? Your father?
No, it was just that I started singing songs on the radio and did a vocal career back in school before my voice changed. And then after that, in 86, I turned to keyboards and started playing piano, organ, and stuff like that. And then dropped it for about 7 years when I was involved in my last marriage. And then and then picked it back up in 98. And then at the same time, that's when I was introduced to the zither harp, and then a year later, the Native American flute. And also at that time, realized my natural tendencies to percussion, especially, you know, playing hand drums and stuff like that.
Okay, well, nice job. Thanks
You.
I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving. Huh?
Well, it's an honor playing for you. And you know what? If you come down in January, I'll give you a copy of my CD if I can exchange a copy of Worker in the Light.
We can work on that.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you being part of the program. If anybody out there plays saxophone, call in, because I want to hear one of those tonight, too. Hey, it is a holiday. And don't forget, I worked last night, so I'm going to just kind of like chill and sit back. Now, as you well know, Friday is the traditional busiest shopping day of the year. Our special coast-to-coast recorders and microphones were attached to one shopping center mall. This is what it sounded like. Okay, but actually now, truth be known, that was not, well, it may have been, but we don't think it was recorded at a shopping center. Those are the sounds of hell that we've been playing for years and years and years, handed down from Art to me. And, you know, when I retire in 50 years, I'll hand them down to the next guy or gal. Those are the sounds of hell, but it does sound just like, doesn't it? Some kind of shopping mall or something like that. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Julie from Vernon, Arizona.
Julie, what's going on?
First of all, George, it is an honor to speak to you. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I have tried to call in before on the show, and tonight I just dialed once and I got through.
Isn't it a great feeling to know it's actually ringing, and then you hope, oh, I hope they get it. I hope someone picks it up.
Sometimes it'll ring, and then that recording will come on and say, you know, hang up and redial or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, one of your previous callers just mentioned Bill Cooper.
Yes.
And you won't believe, I was the selling agent on his house after he died.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. And I used to live in Alpine, and he lived in Eager, and he apparently passed before I really got, you know, to know who he even was. And it was a really bizarre. The story I got was he was kind of set up so that the police could get in, and they killed him.
You know, and they might have. I mean, and it might have. It was, but, you know, but Bill Cooper, he was starting to hear footsteps.
Listen, the guy, George, the man was very odd because on his front porch, after he had passed and they tried to get all of his, like, stuff out to get it ready for sale, there were boxes and boxes on the front porch full of papers and...
Oh, yeah, he kept... clippings, and then this was really before the computer age. He kept clippings and articles and magazines of every conspiracy out there. Thanks for the call, but that's amazing. You were his listening agent after he died. We'll be back in a moment. The Looney line, somebody's on it. I'll get to them in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. You know, as we get into December, I'm going to take a mini vacation. The network provides me with 3 weeks out of the year, but I only take two, and I give the last week away, so it's gone. And then once in a blue moon, I'll take a Friday off or so. Now, this coming December, the plan is even I've changed it. It's more dramatic for me lifestyle-wise. I'm only going to take 3 days vacation of my week. I'm going to be taking a Friday off in a couple weeks, and I think we've got Art filling in for me on that, and that's because of working a holiday. But instead of taking the whole week off, which would have included Christmas, and I wanted to be here Christmas night, I'm only going to take 3 days off, which will be that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I'll give you the schedule as we get into December. I wanted to say hello to all of you who make Coast to Coast the most successful late-night radio show in the world, growing now by leaps and bounds. So many things are happening because of your involvement with the show. The Sci-Fi Network is working on a paranormal-type show with us that we will complete the pilot in a month. And hopefully it'll make air as a series, and I think that's going to happen. So I'll fill you in on that. And CBS is working with us on something which I can't tell you about yet, but I will shortly. But I want to thank all of you for everything that's been going on here. Those of you who are listening on your favorite radio stations in North America, Streamlink, you have been an integral part of our life. And the Coast writers who are part of Streamlink as you chat during the program, thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful holiday approaching. And I hope your Thanksgiving was superb as well. XM Satellite, hello to you, primarily truck drivers, but a lot of you out there. The NighthawkZone.com chat room, tremendous supporters of Coast to Coast. You know, you were saying give thanks. This is my Thanksgiving thanks to all of you. So hi to the NighthawkZone.com folks. Started off not too long ago. They've built themselves up now as a great chat room and headed up by Bad Boy. I wonder what his real name is, but that's his name that he uses. Imaginative Worlds, the Fantastic Form Pirates that started when Art was on. Sorcery IRC and other chat rooms now forming. Frog Form, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club. Now, various paranormal chat rooms all around the country are springing up, listening to Coast as well. I know in Dallas they have a coffee shop meeting on Sundays. So thank you. My thank you to all of you. Art's thank you to all of you. And the entire staff of Coast to Coast thanks you for making this program what it is. I'll be back with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go to our loony line, and that number, by the way, is 818-817-0021. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
George, this is Chewy Eugene, Oregon, and I'm loony because I like to imitate children. And so I have, I don't know if you're familiar with the intro that Maggie did for Art when he was in the States.
No.
And but your listeners will know who it is. Your longtime listeners will know who Maggie was. She did an intro for Art, and it was a wonderful little voice that he kept playing it.
Are you liking cartoons and things like that?
No, I like cartoons, but I just do it for fun.
All right, give me one.
Hello, everybody. This is Maggie from the Deserts of the Sea.
You sound like UFO Phil.
Let me try it again, okay? Because I left something out.
Hello, everybody from the Desert of the Sea. This is Maggie. You want to take a ride?
That's incredible. How do you do that?
I don't know. It's, I do it better when I'm doing it on, you know, when I'm alone. So this is like a debut.
Now, do you have different voices?
Not really. I just fool around and you know, goof off to myself. I live by myself. So
all right, I tell you what, give me an intro if you would, for me.
Oh, well, I'll do. Let's see, what can I say?
I'm from some cave in St. Louis or something like that.
Deep in the cave in St. Louis. This is Maggie introducing George Norrie.
Yeah, I don't think you're loony. I think you're kind of funny.
Well, yeah, I used to have a little chicken named Looney Tunes, so it's in keeping with
good
it.
For you know what keeps you young? How old are you?
I'm 73.
Good for you.
I love it. Hey, have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. My, oh, my. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Caroline from South Mississippi.
Hi.
And I've spoken to you before. I spoke to you about an out-of-body experience that I had had. But going back to the subject similar to what we talked about last night on the air, I have a theory and have had this feeling most all of my life, and that is that I really am not from the earth.
Where are you from?
Well, I don't really know. I have been told by a couple of psychics and other people that I'm really a very, very old soul. And of course, I am old, but I feel like that there are some people who were not, when at one time or another, beings from somewhere else came to Earth and bred or interbred with others who were not of their kind, that it was successful. But there are those like myself who it was not successful with. I have Rh negative blood, which means I have no monkey in me. Rh being from the rhesus monkey.
That's true. Yeah.
I have no monkey in me, and that when that follows through, and so with time, that does not change. That stays as it is.
Well, now tell me, you've never had a past life regression or anything like that, have you?
Well, I really don't know what's normal and what's abnormal.
Ever been hypnotized?
Never really. And that's going to have to go back to another subject that was brought up last night, and that is that I knew Dave Ferry.
You knew him?
And again,
you're talking about the Kennedy conspiracy show we were talking about on Wednesday, which you probably got the refeed last night. Now, Dave Ferry, of course, was always kicked around in the Kennedy assassination. Now, tell me, how did you get to know him?
Well, I was the youngest of a family that was involved in Civil Air Patrol in New Orleans when Dave Ferry was involved with the Civil Air Patrol. And the caller that spoke last night had said that he knew him and had been hypnotized by him.
Yes.
And he's talking about the New Orleans Lakefront Squadron. After the time when this person that spoke to you, Dave Ferry was ousted, I should say, from the New Orleans Lakefront Squadron of the Civil Air Patrol. He was thrown out.
Why? Just for his behavior?
For a lot of reasons. One, he was homosexual.
Well, they shouldn't throw him out because of that.
No, that he had a lot going on with a lot of young people that brought...
You mean, all right, I see what you mean.
And he was actually thrown out. And if you know anything about Civil Air Patrol, it's an auxiliary of the Air Force. There was another adult.
Well, he was bizarre.
He was bizarre. He was quite bizarre. When he was removed from the New Orleans Lakefront Squadron, when he was thrown out, he went to what was the Moisant Airport Eastern Hangar. He was an Eastern Airlines pilot. And he tried to start another Civil Air Patrol squadron there. And, of course, Harvey followed him, and I knew Harvey. I went to school with Harvey, speaking of who everyone calls Lee Harvey Oswald.
Wait a minute now. You went to school with Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yes, I did. I was considerably younger than him, but I knew him.
Oh, did you know him on a friendly basis?
I knew him to see him on the school ground, and there were times that I spoke to him. I was younger. He was in a higher grade, but I knew him from Civil Air Patrol. And like I said, I was the youngest in my family, and my parents were involved in Civil Air Patrol, and so were my older sibling. And because the whole family was there, I was there. And I took part in all of the activities. I just was not a uniform-wearing sworn-in Civil Air Patrol cadet.
Were you convinced when you heard about the Kennedy assassination that some of these folks were involved in it?
Well, I don't doubt that Harvey was involved in it, and I don't doubt that Dave Ferry was involved in it. And I feel like that Harvey got a really bad rap, and that is in my knowledge of Harvey and talking with him, because I always felt rather sorry for him, which is odd for a younger person to feel about an older person. But Harvey, in my opinion, was always looking for someone to look up to. He was a person that respected and thought a lot of free thinkers and people who fought for good causes, and he could be used in that way. And I always felt like that he was used by Dave Ferry. He idolized him. And I always felt sorry for Harvey for that reason. And that was that he never really fit in. And in my opinion, he was always looking for someone to look up to.
Were you in shock when they named him as the assassin of Kennedy?
All along I said he didn't do it. All along I said he could be led in many ways. But I never thought of him as a person who could actually instigate something and follow through it.
You don't think he could have planned it out, do you?
No, I think perhaps he could have fantasized, but I don't think that he could have done it. And like I said, I'm younger than Harvey, but I spoke to him many times, really, because I felt sorry for him. I felt like he was alone and he was a loner. And there were times when I had the opportunity to be in the same place where he was, and I opened conversations and I got him to talk, mainly because I felt sorry for him.
I think he was like 24, 25 during the assassination, wasn't he?
I have to stop and think. Yeah, probably so, because I was...
Which is strange, because, you know, nowadays, when you think of a 24-year-old, you think of a youngster, almost. At least you do when you're my age. But... it's just difficult to think of an assassin like that, 24 years old. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. What was that? Hello. Oh, there's my saxophone that I called for.
Hey, George, you got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, this is Ezra in San Francisco.
I heard you're practicing.
I was just getting ready for you because your screener told me I should just hit you with it.
Well, he called it right. You did. Nice playing. How long have you been playing the saxophone?
About 10 years now.
And let me tell you something. You play a mean saxophone for 10 years.
Thank you, sir.
That's not a long time for a musician, is it?
Well, I've been playing music pretty much my whole life, kind of like that harpist flute that you had before.
Yeah. What's your favorite saxophone song?
Well, I love playing blues jazz because that's kind of what my band plays with a little hip-hop mixed in.
What's out there that we would all know?
You're talking about a specific song?
Yeah.
Do you know Burke's Works by Dizzy Gillespie?
You know, I might if I heard the tune, but I don't know the name.
Would you like me to play you a little bit?
All right, a little bit, and then I'll fade you out, okay?
Sure. Thanks, sir.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. Not bad at all. I'm beginning to feel like Ted Mack in the old amateur hour. These guys are good. They really are. That's different. Let's go to the Looney line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I think my family thinks they're born-again Christians. I think I'm a little loony, a little crazy, I should say.
Why?
Because it's the God issue. I don't really believe, I'm not convinced there's actually a God because there's no basis, there's no proof. So they look at me and like, you're going to go to hell. I said, I don't believe in hell. So, you know, it just, there's no basis for that. There's no proof. You know, it's like you go through the Bible and it's like say Noah's Ark, for example. Mm-hmm. There's no way. I don't know the exact, you know, dimensions of this ark, but there's no possible way it could have held all two of every animal on the planet at the same time. It's like all these mysteries. It just doesn't make no sense to me.
Well, I think there was a little embellishment there. You're right. I don't think every animal, two of each, could be on that ark.
Yeah, exactly.
But they may have been talking about a lot of the species of that era for that location, for example.
But as time goes on, you know, of course, more animals are going to be extinct. So there's actually more animals. I think it's like 8,000 years ago.
Let me ask you the old question. When you look outside at all the stars at night one day, do you ever wonder, though, how it all happened?
Oh, of course. But that's like another big mystery, though. I need tangible evidence.
So you would be an agnostic. You could believe if somebody brought you the proof, right?
Yeah, I want to believe, no doubt about it. But the thing is, most of my family actually believe there actually is a, like they say, God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost are the same person. Jesus been around for 2,006 years. God's been around for infinity. How can it possibly be the same person?
Well, there's a lot of faith behind it.
That's what I'm trying to get to. How can you have faith for something you don't see and you don't know what's going on? There's no proof for it.
Well, just think of this for just a moment. Look how many things happen on this planet where there's no basis of truth, there's no proof, yet you believe it, you know it, and it happens. Could be the case here. I'll be back in a moment. Another hour to go of open lines, plus the Looney line, which is 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.